You're listening to the Table Church Podcast. The Table is a community in Orville, California that aims to follow Jesus by doing what he did. Love God, love our neighbors, and serve those in need. Find us at thetablechurch.net, Instagram, or Facebook. And now for the message.
We have begun a message series through Advent called Adventually. This idea of waiting, not letting the season dictate what God wants to do in our lives, but really being intentional and purposeful and prayerful about encountering Christ during Christmas. And so my job for the next, last week and the next coming weeks is just to say, let's pause and take a breath. I thought about making us all close our eyes and breathe, but that felt a little like, you know, cultish, so you don't have to do that. But this is a space where I'm hoping we can breathe and rest and be intentional about meeting Christ. Last week, we talked about the passage. The passage was keep awake. Three times there was this idea of stay awake. And I know that feels opposite of rest, but there's this idea that we can kind of sleepwalk through life, and if we're not being aware of what's going on around us, we can just end up sleepwalking through everything, going through the motions, you've heard the phrase. And so keep awake is the command from last week. This week we're hearing some good news. And the good news of Christmas is that God is finally coming to rescue us from sin and slavery and self and Satan, those S's that we talk about that kind of oppress us and keep us down. This is the good news, that Christ has come and Christ is coming and Christ continually comes. And so our good news is that Christ wants to meet with us, to talk to us, to be with us. But there is a problem that we run into. And the problem is that we're really good at preparing for all kinds of things. We prepare for everything, right? We prepare for sickness. We got sick days. We got vacation days. We got Christmas parties coming up. We got buying houses, right? We're saving up money. We're buying our houses. We prepare for catastrophes. Some people always are preparing for the next catastrophe, right? Some of us are preparing for our next girlfriend or boyfriend or partner or whatever. I'm thinking about Thermalito and my own family. Some people in my family are preparing their next, where they're going to get their next high from, right? Or their next meal. We know about preparing. We do meal prepping, some of us. I've seen your photos. They're incredible. My friend Ryan was like, I made 400 meals for like $8. And I just have to eat it all before it goes bad. And it looked really good. He was like, I bought all this chicken cheap. And so we know about preparing. We're good at preparing. We got life insurance. We got sick insurance. We have it all. We're prepped to the max. By and large, I just said that. But I think the message for today, the problem that's being addressed today, is that we don't often prepare for Jesus to show up. Honestly, I say at best, it feels like we walk around waiting for Jesus to club us over the head, right? Like we're going to live our life, Jesus, and I'm going to do the things that I want to do. I'm going to go to church on Sunday, and I'm going to pray. But honestly, if you're going to show up, you just got to beat me over the head with it, because I'm not prepared. At worst, I say we walk around like Jesus is never going to show up, like practical atheists, right? Of just like, yeah, I believe in God, but God doesn't really talk to me, or show up, meet me anywhere. And I'm holding on to this belief thing, and I'm holding on to this religion thing, but I'm not really prepared for God to show up. One of my favorite woman writers says, if we really believed the Bible, and we really believed our relationship with God was with another living thing that wanted to communicate, talk with us, and be with us, and call us out into a messy and dirty world, we wouldn't show up to church with our best clothes on. We would show up to church with our hard hats on, right? Because God's going to bring down the house, send us back out into the world to do some work. But we are not very good at preparing for Jesus to show up, at least in my estimation. I'm going to tell you my story. And maybe you guys can find some resonance with it. Last night, there was this event called Awaken Orville, and there was churches all over Orville getting together at the State Theater to do a prayer concert and worship, and they just to kind of get prepared for the season. It's a little bit outside of my style, but these are our brothers and sisters, and I kept feeling the tug, like, I need to practice what I'm preaching here. I need to find some time, get quiet, go and just sing and pray and open myself up to what Jesus wants to do in me this season. I only had a short time to be there. And so as I began walking down the street and they're setting up for the Christmas parade, I'm like, oh, that looks really fun. That smells really delicious. I need some of that. Not prepared at all to meet Jesus as I'm walking into this thing that's going to happen. And then I get inside and I realize what I'm, in my head, what I'm saying is like, I want people to know that I'm here. As a pastor in the community, I want people to see me. There's a presence. I want to represent the table well. But that's not preparing to meet Jesus. That's trying to like puff myself up, make sure people see me. So I was like, I can't do that. Let's not. I'm here to see Jesus. And so I snuck around the back. I was like, no one's going to see me. I'm sneaking into this place. So I sneak in and I sit in the back. But then I'm thinking, I don't want anyone to think that I don't want to be here. And so I'm just not thinking about praying at all at this point, right? And I walk in and there's a pastor on stage talking. It's not this guy. He's not in this picture. And he and I have had some tension in the past, and I'm just being real with you. I hope I can be vulnerable with you. We love each other. We see each other all the time. He's bought me donuts before. Really great guy. But we've just had some tension in the past, and we just keep missing each other, and things kind of weird and awkward sometimes. And so he's talking when I first walk in, and so I'm definitely not thinking about prayer anymore, right? I'm thinking about, like, should I fix this relationship? What do I got to do? I don't know what's going on. Like, why is there so much tension? We haven't even ever really talked more than 5 minutes, but things are weird. Man, this doesn't feel good. I got to leave in 20 minutes. And so I'm not at all on the right set. And then a guy starts preaching, and I'm like, one of the sins of seminarians is that we think we know everything. And so I was like, that's not right. That's not what Psalm 24 means. And then now I'm not thinking about how Jesus is in the psalm. I'm thinking about what's right, what's the most correct thing, which if you know me, I struggle with that a little bit. And then the music started and I didn't know the words. And I don't know, it just was really hard to get in that space to like be open and to be prayerful. And I had to leave in 10 minutes. And so finally I was just like, I'm going to stare at the ceiling and I'm going to give this an honest effort, because otherwise I just spent a whole lot of time thinking about myself. And so I stared at the ceiling, had my eyes closed, had my hands in my pocket, tried to learn the chorus to the song I never heard. I felt like they were just making it up, to be honest. I don't know. Never heard that song in my life. I listened to a lot of music. Tried to learn the chorus came, I started singing. And then I had to leave in 2 minutes, and so I was like, I'm going to just throw out a Hail Mary prayer. And as I'm praying, that pastor that I have tension with snuck up and grabbed a hold of me, put his hand on my chest and my back, and he said, can I pray for you? And I just gave him a big bear hug, and I said, yeah. And so he prayed for me, and it was good. It was like praying for our friendship to increase, and prayed for my family, and he prayed for our church, and it felt like Jesus showed up at the last minute as I was getting ready to leave so I could go to the Christmas parade, which my kids were pumped about, right? In fact, I was late getting home. But just getting into that set, I was not prepared for Jesus to show up at all, and by his grace and mercy, he shows up in a really incredible way that was really meaningful to me. But I wasn't prepared. I had too many things going on. There was too many distractions. It was literally loud and bright and abrasive and fire engines, sirens roaring and dragons breathing literal fire. I wasn't prepared. We prepare for all kinds of things. I figured out how to get there. I made sure that I had dinner. I prepared for that. You know, I wasn't missing that. I was cutting into the prayer time. I wasn't going to miss the parade. Everything else got all this priority. You know, the hot chocolate was made for the parade, and the car was packed, and all this stuff was prepped, and I wasn't prepared to meet Jesus, right? I wasn't prepared for Jesus to show up. And when he did, by the goodness and grace of his alone, it was impactful, and it was powerful, and it was good. And so that's the good news. Jesus wants to meet. Jesus wants to show up. But we don't really prepare ourselves well, I feel like. Maybe you do. I feel like by and large, we have a hard time with this. A lot of things get a lot of other attention. And that's what I think the passage is about today. We're doing Mark 1, 1 through 8. If you know anything about the book of Mark, there's no Christmas story in it. So Jesus is an adult by now. But this is part of the season where we're still trying to figure out. We're figuring out Jesus is coming. That's what this story is about. And are we prepared? We get some John the Baptist today. Mark 1, 1 through 8. It says, the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, God's son, happened just as it was written about in the prophecy of Isaiah hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before. Look, I am sending my messenger before you, and he will prepare your way. A voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his paths straight. John the Baptist was in the wilderness calling for people to be baptized to show that they were changing their hearts and life's repentance and wanted God to forgive their sins. Everyone in Judea and all the people of Jerusalem went out to the Jordan River and were being baptized by John as they confessed their sins. John wore clothes made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. He announced, one stronger, mightier than I is coming after me. I am not even worthy to bend over and loosen the strap of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Before we dive in, I only have 20 minutes to pull 3 points from this. And this passage has so much. And so every week I prepare notes for my sermon. It's 6 pages, 3 pages front and back. And so, like, I'm not going to get to talk about camel's hair and leather belts this time, and I'm not going to get to talk about why it says every single person from the whole region came out, which feels like a little bit like an exaggeration. I'm not going to get to talk about that much about what baptism means. I'm not going to get to talk about all kinds of stuff here. So if you want to go deeper with this, I have 10 copies of my notes. If you want an electronic copy, I'll send it to you. But I only have time to pull out kind of 3 points that I want us to take away for Advent. And so if you at all feel compelled by this passage, dig in. There's so, so much here. Is that supposed to happen? No? Thanks, man. I appreciate that. So here's what I want you to know. Every week, I want us to know something, I want us to feel something, and I want us to do something. This is kind of how I orient these sermons. And so what I want us to know is on this slide, and it's this, and it's also on the back of your bulletin, it's also on the back of your blue card. Jesus is constantly, constantly breaking into our world and our lives. Constantly. I know Advent's this weird time where we're preparing for the coming of Christ at Christmas, and we're also preparing for Christ to come at the end of time. But Jesus is always breaking in, always coming. And so John the Baptist's good news to us is that Jesus is coming. Jesus is arriving. He's constantly and consistently breaking into the world, into our lives. And so we need... That's all good. We need to be prepared. The passage is, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. One stronger than I is coming after me. Jesus is coming. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make your paths straight. This is a brilliant Dutch Catholic priest. His name is Henry Nouwen. They wanted him to study theology, but he wanted to study psychology. At the end of his life, he ended up with a doctorate in theology and psychology. And so he has these beautiful books called The Wounded Healer, The Prodigal Son. He's just easily one of the most recognized characters in all of Christianity, Henry Nouwen. His story is really incredible because he was born in the Netherlands, became a priest, wanted to study psychology, worked as a psychologist in many different aspects, but he struggled with a few things that he really wrestled against his whole life. One was depression. he struggled with depression, which is probably why he studied psychology, was to try to get a handle on this. So he had lots and lots of bouts of depression. He's written books about it. He has journals about this. The other one is that he was a gay priest who was celibate. He was never in a relationship, but he struggled with his homosexuality. And even at the end of his life, started to open up more about this. It was in the 80s and 90s he began to talk about this. Again, faithful to his call to be a priest, but had desires in him that he struggled with. And so he becomes this voice that people are drawn to for people that want to be vulnerable and open and recognize that they have brokennesses and hurts and struggles that they're fighting against. And so I bring up his words because he becomes this kind of, I don't know, this voice on how to hear God's voice. He says, "From all that I've said about our worried, overfilled lives, it is clear that we are usually surrounded by so much outer noise that it is hard to truly hear our God when he is speaking to us. We have often become deaf, unable to know when God calls us, and unable to understand in which direction he calls us. A spiritual life requires discipline because we need to learn to listen to God who constantly speaks, but whom we seldom hear. We need to move slowly from a life filled with noisy worries to a life in which there is some free inner space where we can listen to our God and follow his guidance." Henry Nouwen in Making All Things New. But he recognizes what I'm saying. I bring him up because he says what I'm saying is that God is constantly speaking to us, but we have not prepared in such a way that we can hear him well. And so the good news is Jesus is constantly breaking into our world and into our lives, and we need to be prepared, and we can be prepared, and God is speaking to us, but we have to figure out a way to open our ears to what God wants to say. One of the ways I think we can do that is part of this feel thing. What does this passage want you to feel, in my estimation? What do I think God wants you to feel when John the Baptist is out here in the wilderness yelling? I think we need to be excited and have some anticipation. And I'm not telling you to go home and just try to conjure up excitement. But when someone is coming, that can be exciting, right? Maybe not. If you have some family that you don't want coming, that's probably less exciting. But part of the thing about Advent is we're expecting a baby. We know the story. There's a baby coming at the end. Nobody else knew that. Everyone else was like, God's going to float down from the sky and tell us all he's here, and he shows up in a baby, and this is the miracle and scandal of Christmas. But we get the idea of waiting for a baby, of being excited about it, anticipating. We get this. There's excitement about it. I waited 9 months, 7.5 months, right? You don't know you're pregnant for 6 weeks or whatever. I waited 7.5 months for my kids every day. And then when it was like a month before they were supposed to be born, I was like, they could be born any time. And so every day I'm just like, they're going to be maybe tomorrow, maybe. And then they were always like a week or two late. And so like for the last 6 weeks, I'm like, any day, any. And the doctor's like, we might have to induce. This is getting. And I'm like, I don't know. It could be any second, right? There's this, there's like bags by the door and the cars are loaded with stuff, and we have the birth plan ready, and we've been to the doctor. And then when they're that late, you go to the doctor like every day, and they're like, I don't know. So, but there's this excitement, and there's this anticipation that something's coming, and you prepare your house, right? And you make sure that with my first kid, I had no idea what I was doing. Like, I put all those plastic plug things in. They can't even move for 6 months. You know what I mean? Like, I prepared completely the wrong way. I was just so excited. And then my story with my kid is that I was in the hospital with Titus. I was so nervous about, is he too hot or too cold? I can't tell. And finally, one beautiful nurse came in and she said, feel his neck. If his neck feels hot, he's probably hot. And I was like, that's all I needed, right? So I felt like I had this. I was changing diapers, and I was swaddling King, right? That kid was just like a cocoon. And then I get home, and I thought when I got home I would relax because we're out of the hospital setting. And we were there for a little bit, and I get home, and we bring everyone inside, and we take the pictures, and I sit down on the couch with the baby, and immediately I was like, What if he's allergic to our cleaning products? What if he's allergic to my cat? What if he's allergic to the detergent in my clothes? What if he's allergic to the air freshener? And so I was like, I'm going to freak myself out for sure. I was too excited about bringing this baby home. But I think John wants us to be excited about Jesus. I mean, part of preparing and anticipating Jesus showing up is it comes along with the emotion of like expectation and excitement that God could break into your life at any moment. If your ears are tuned, if you're waiting for the call, right? My water broke, whatever it is, just waiting with excitement and anticipation. Here's the verse I'm taking this from. The beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, God's son, a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. The opening line of Mark is really interesting. I know it's all in my notes. I don't want to geek out on you too much. First of all, it's not a complete sentence. There's no verb. It's more like a title. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. We learned three things about the opening line of Mark. One, this whole thing is about Jesus Christ. Two, he's God's son. And three, this is good news. This is good news. I am going to geek out on you for a little bit here. Good news comes from the word euangelion. We stole that word from the Romans. Whenever an emperor would die, they would crown his son. The emperor that died became deified. They called him a god. The son, who is now the emperor, would be the son of God. And he would proclaim good news. He would send out a letter to the whole empire. It was called a euangelion. It was called a gospel. The good news of Augustus has come, and he is going to bring you peace, Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. He will give you bread, and he will give you circuses, and you will have a great life. This is the gospel of the Son of God, of Augustus. And so Mark steals that language and says, you guys are all wrong. They aren't the Son of God. They aren't even the real king. This is the pushback from Christianity, is that we serve one King Jesus. So he takes their language and he says, this is the gospel, the euangelion, the good news about Jesus Christ, who's God's son. He's not a son of a God. He's the son of the God, right? And this is good news that is going to bring about real peace. Not peace through however strong the Roman army can be at that time to protect against however strong the Assyrian army is or whatever, but real lasting peace. This is good news. And so we can be excited about that. We can anticipate this. This isn't drudgery. This isn't boredom. This isn't just sadness and solemnness like I was talking about earlier. This isn't nose to the grindstone faith where we're just trying to just pound it out and get through our day and just slog through our faith. This is good news that we can meet with excitement and anticipation. I thought about this movie clip. If you've never seen Godspell, the 1970s version, I'll just give you, it's John the Baptist and Jesus' story set in like the Bronx, New York, and it's a bunch of hippies. And so it's gonna be, if you've never seen it, it's gonna be a little bit different, but their version of John the Baptist is my favorite. Here we go. So I don't think it was exactly like that, but it's pretty close. I just really appreciate that version because when you think about John the Baptist, especially in other versions, Matthew and Luke, John the Baptist can be, he has this tough exterior because he's yelling at the Pharisees. And so he says, you brood of vipers. You know, in the old versions of some of the movies that they have, John is just, he's a woolly man. He's a big, kind of scary, hairy, shaggy man. But sometimes that bleeds over to some of the ways they portray him in movies, and he seems condemning and harsh and judgmental. And so, but in this story, Mark pairs it with, this is good news, and that Jesus is coming, and you need to get prepared. The only bad news is that Jesus is coming, and if you aren't prepared, you can miss it. Like literally all of the religious people during the time here, all the religious leaders here, and the government officials. And so there's some excitement that comes, I think, that John wants us to feel. I was thinking about it like this. Can you imagine if we started hearing about miracles, about this guy Thermalito, who like turned water into wine at a wedding, like buckets and buckets and buckets full. We just heard about it. We were like, nah, I don't know. I wasn't there. Sounds like fake news. You know what I mean? I'm not sure. And then also you hear about this guy that lives in the rock piles or something in the wilderness or on Table Mountain. And every once in a while he comes out and he says a few words and then he just walks back into the wilderness and he doesn't eat or talk to anybody. Like, can you imagine if I preached like that? If I just walked out from the back and said some things and then walked away and just like didn't shake anyone's hand or say hi or eat cookies with the guests? I really do imagine it kind of like we're all sitting at Bedrock. If you've been to Bedrock, we're all sitting there waiting for this wild and woolly man to walk out of the wilderness that's on the other side of the river, and he just kind of wades through the river, and he says, like, God's coming. Get prepared. And if you aren't prepared, you're going to miss it. And if anyone wants to be baptized so that they can change their heart and their mind, so that they can hear and see God when God shows up, come on down to the river. And people just come into the river and get baptized. And then when he's done, he just walks back into the rocks and grabs some grasshoppers and eats it. Like, that would be, that's a weird story. But we've heard it a million times, so it doesn't feel weird to us. And I say all that because there's just a sense of excitement. God is doing something. This weird man coming out of the desert to just say, God's going to show up, and this is good news, I think we can greet with excitement and anticipation. And in fact, if you have some excitement about God showing up in your life, it's probably a good sign that you are preparing for God to show up. Let's talk about repent real quick. It feels like pastors always got to talk about this. He preached a message of repentance. And when I think of repentance, I wasn't always growing up in the church. I always imagined a guy on a street corner with a bullhorn, right? Like, repent. The end is nigh, like same words I didn't understand, but like in a really mean way. And Morna, this incredible woman scholar out of Britain named Morna Hooker, she says, that's not at all what's being said here with the word repentance. The word is metanoia. It means to change your mind, and it's a good thing. People turning their lives towards God so they can be more in touch and more in connection. This isn't a scary, judgmental thing. This is a good thing about people opening themselves up to God doing something in their life. And so repent is not the bullhorn guy. Repent is an invitation to let go of some of the noisy things that are going on. Let go of the direction of our life that we have been preparing for, whatever it is, a home, spouse, retirement, or whatever it is. Not let that be our center focus, but instead let God have God's way in our life. What does this passage want us to do? Want us to know that Jesus is coming? Wants us to feel a bit of excitement about the good news? What are we supposed to do about all that? I think we got to get prepared. That's why I titled this Doomsday Preppers, because God's going to show up. It's going to change everything. He does it Christmas. He's going to do it at the end of time, and he does it constantly. And so there's this idea that repentance is the end of one kind of life preparation and moving into another kind of life where we follow Christ. So what do we got to do to get prepared? First, John says, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John was in the wilderness calling for people to be baptized to show that they were changing their hearts and lives, and they wanted God to forgive their sins. Everyone in Judea and all the people of Jerusalem went out to the Jordan River and were being baptized by John as they confessed their sins. So how do we prepare? That's the question, right? How do we prepare? In this passage, they got baptized with John's baptism. They confessed their sins. Confess the ways in which their lives are broken. Confess the ways in which they have prioritized themselves over everything else, right? We don't do John's baptism anymore. Like, I don't just have water up here that you can just come and get baptized whenever you want so that you can open yourself up to God. That was a thing that the church says that only happened right before Jesus comes. And so how do we prepare? How do we prepare? Well, part of me thinks that we already know how. That we aren't totally ignorant of what we should do to prepare ourselves for God's coming. like I said earlier, we prepare for all kinds of things. Typically, we're pretty good preparers as when it comes to citizens. I think we know. I have one more video clip. It's my favorite Christmas movie about preparation, and then I'll give you some actual ways to prepare. I think we know how to prepare. He's preparing. He's preparing for Santa coming. He's got that excitement. There's some anticipation. You guys get what I'm going there, going on with this with this video clip. But he knows how to prepare for Santa. I think we do. We know how. When we have guests coming, we know how to prepare for them. When we have a baby coming, we generally know how to prepare for that. We're good at preparing. So I don't know how to give you a bunch of, here's what you should do. And I don't want to stand here every week and say you should be making sure you're spending time in your scriptures, and you should be making sure that you're praying, and you should be making sure that you're exploring different disciplines, coming to church regularly, meeting with people to talk about scripture. I can tell you all those things every week, and I don't really want to do that, beat you up about it. My origin in the 200s, easily one of the most brilliant minds in Christianity, he says, the way of the Lord must be prepared within the heart. For great and spacious is the heart of a person, as if it were a whole world. Prepare, therefore, in your hearts the way of the Lord by a worthy manner of life. Keep straight the path of your life so that the words of the Lord may enter in without an hindrance. This preparation that we're doing, expecting God to show up, maybe with a little bit of excitement, this has to do with our inner life. Our heart, as he would say, about making sure that we're taking time to be quiet, making sure that we're not stressing it out, being anxious, over-worried about things, that we are making room in our life for God to disrupt us. I was a pastor at a church for about 5 years before I went to seminary, and we had offices. One of the things, we're renting this building, so I don't have an office. And so I'd be trying to get work done for Sunday morning. I led worship. I was in charge of all these things. And people would constantly come in and disrupt me. They'd want to talk about all kinds of things. Hey, did you see the game? Hey, my car's broke down. Can you pray for me? And I'm like, I got stuff to do. Like, you know, like, hey, I need you to pray for me. We have to talk to, you know, my dad about taking away his license or whatever, you know, and it's like, you could figure that out. You guys could pray for that. Like, I don't know. I don't know. And so I felt like I was just constantly like staring at a screen, trying to get stuff done. And these were disruptions that just like, leave me alone. I got stuff to do. I got papers to print and songs to choose and screens to prepare, right? And then I was convicted. Maybe you know where I'm going. That was the real work that was happening. This stuff is just nothing, right? Like, we got to have some words on a screen at some point. But, like, those aren't disruptions. That's God's work. That's people's lives. That's stuff that's going on that they are concerned about, that they are worried about, that they're asking for their community and their family to come along to. And so I say that to say, like, are you disruptible, really? Like, have you made space? Have you prepared yourself? Are you anticipating God to show up in a way that you can be disrupted? That God can break in, speak to you, guide you, tell you to go a different way, bring you peace? Are you disruptible in the midst of that? I have three ways at the end I'm going to tell you about a spiritual practice you can do this week to maybe prepare yourself. I'll let you choose one if you want. But let's conclude with what we're saying here. It says, if I can make my thing work. What do I want you to know? I want you to know that Jesus continually breaks into the world in our lives. And he has come and he is coming and he is always here. And I want you to feel some excitement about it and anticipation, because this is good news. It's not judgmental. It's not condemning. It's good news. And what I want you to do, I want you to expect and prepare. In three ways you can possibly do that this week, take them or leave them, is, and this is the easiest one and maybe the weirdest one, but like just take a long bath. Like if you need a bath, if you need a break, if you need to like let somebody else watch the kids and close the door, and like do that. And I know I'm just talking about John the Baptist, and there's this water thing that's going on, but there's just this idea of like making space for God to disrupt us. Like, get some quiet time, take a bath. I love baths. I don't take them that often. Change your Christmas tradition. Let just disrupt it yourself. I know we have traditions and traditions are great, but one of the things about traditions is that like there's this pressure to do them as good as they were in the past. And so like just change one. That way you can just get this idea of opening yourself up and maybe moving in a different way and changing your mind. This repentance thing might kind of make some sense to you. It might be hard. It's going to be hard. We sat in a different place last night for the Christmas parade. Oh, it was kind of hard. It doesn't seem like it would be hard. And then finally, the hardest one. They confessed their sins when they went to be baptized. And so maybe you need to confess something. Whatever it is, that you're not making space for God, that you're struggling with this thing or that, you're lying, whatever it is. There's something going on in your life that you need to confess. Find someone to confess it to. Call me. Find someone else that you trust and love. You can do that. That's the hardest one, but that's probably the thing that most opens us up to God to speak in our life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this Advent season. We thank you for your push to have us breathe and rest and prepare to hear you speak. That you are constantly speaking to us, and maybe even now, and maybe even during this time of communion, you have something to say to us. May we prepare in such a way that we can take some time to be quiet and still in the middle of this busy and loud and bright season. May we prepare to meet you. That we wouldn't let our traditions let us have a Christmas as usual, but we would let this Christmas be a time where you can take us to another level, that we can grow, that we can heal, that we can move closer to you. Not Christmas as usual, Christmas totally different. Help us to prepare and anticipate and expect that. You coming and disrupting our lives now so that we can have that better thing that you have for us. Open our hearts. Make them receptive to what you have for us. Whether it's by eating of this bread and this juice, or whether it's through confessing of sin, whether it's just quiet time in the morning before the hustle and bustle of the day, meet us, help us, prepare us. We say these things in Jesus' name. Amen.